You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 7th of May. Some thoughts on last night's game, an interesting thing happening in the Warriors-Rockets series, and the Bucks defense, plus Donovan Mitchell. Part 2 of the breakdown continues on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're doing great today. Nice to be with you. This is your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, hopefully making it a better experience to be an NBA fan and giving you some sort of fun entertainment during the day. I was laughing yesterday. I was listening. Oh, by the way, this show is available on the new app Himalaya, which is really cool if you want to check it out. It's got great recommendations, super trending playlists, new podcasts, chills and thrills. Check it out and subscribe to Locked On Jazz or follow Locked On Jazz while you're there. It's all free. You don't have to. They even have like an Asian Heritage Month kind of thing going on right now. They have all sorts of fun little, they do a really nice job, very creative, Himalaya. Also available Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Jazz. It was funny, I was listening to Conan O'Brien. I was on a bike ride yesterday, and Conan O'Brien was talking about how he has this person, he wants everyone to be happy all the time, so like he'll go out for dinner and he'll try to entertain people, and he just wants everyone to like make sure they have a really good time. And that's how I feel about this show. I want to make sure that every time you listen, it's actually worth it to you, and that you've taken it all in. And so anyway, I hope that it's worth your time. I thought this was, I'm reading your cool book. I'm a little all over the map today, but it's act. Don't worry, I actually know I mean to be all over the map today. I'm reading a cool book called Elevated. It's edited and put together by Harvey Ariton, who's a longtime New York Times writer. And it's actually kind of a collection of the all the best pieces have been written by the New York Times over the years on the NBA. So it's these just short little things. It's got kind of the major moments, and it's kind of fun. So a bunch of early on. But I thought this was really interesting. This was from Red Auerbach's 1977. And Red Auerbach was asked whether or not he could return to the bench and coach. And he said, I replied yes, even though the conditions have changed so much since I retired in 1966. No, the game hasn't changed that much. This is written in 1977. The people in it have changed. The players, the owners, the agents. I'm not making a blanket indictment, but by and large, we're seeing an erosion of basic values. Things like pride and integrity and dedication. And this upsets me tremendously. You can talk all you want about new breeds and changing lifestyles and the rest of it, but damn it, some things should never change. They should not be allowed to change. 1977, he wrote that. It just strikes me two things. One, I actually feel like this generation of NBA players, in a lot of ways, is actually more into the dedication, more into the craft, more into the greatness than maybe any that have come before it. But every generation looks at the next generation and thinks that they've lost their pride and their dignity and all those things. It just was striking to read that. Written in 1977, and you hear the flopping's ruining the game and this. Nah, this is just the game evolves and that everyone feels this way all the time. All right, let's touch on Rockets and the Warriors, now tied at 2. I think this is pretty interesting. So, all of a sudden, against the Rockets, who, when I asked Mike D'Antoni about this when the playoffs started, claimed it was luck that his team was the best team in the NBA defending the above the break three. Remember that? Like, I asked him, above the break threes, the Rockets were the number two team in the NBA defending the shooting percentage of the above the break three at 33.4. Denver was number one. And then we went out and played them and couldn't hit. And The answer was, these looks are wide open. What the heck's wrong with us? Well, let's look at the Warriors for a second. Through four games, Klay Thompson on catch and shoot, not always open, just catch and shoot, is at 29%. Steph Curry is at 30%. Iguodala is at 46%, and Durant's at 50%. So they have two guys that are burying them. And as a collective group, they're not crazy off, right? I mean, when you look at, they are, I think they are, I looked at it earlier, they've taken 82 catch and shoots so far, and they are 27 of 82. They're 33% on their catch and shoot threes. So they're off, but they're not off crazy. Now, is it possible that suddenly they're missing wide open looks no differently than the Utah Jazz? Let's take a look at the Golden State Warriors against the Houston Rockets. And then if this is happening, you'd have to look at it and say, well, wait a sec. Is there something to the Rockets? Well, here's the answer. The answer is Steph Curry on wide open threes is 4 of 14. So Draymond Green, who they intentionally are leaving open, is 0 for 4. Klay Thompson is 1 for 6 on wide open threes. Kevin Durant's had two of them. He's 1 for 2. And Alphonso McKinney is 0 for 2. Now, Andre Iguodala is 5 for 8. So that skews the number a tiny bit. But they are 11 of 36 for 31%. Not nearly as bad as what we were. And maybe it all switches in one game when Steph Curry gets going. But Steph Curry is 4 of 14 on wide open threes, and Klay Thompson is 1 of 6 against the Rockets. Now, what in the regular season, Klay wasn't very good either. He was 2 of 8. Draymond was 0 for 8. Iguodala wasn't very good, but Steph was. And so it makes you wonder whether there's something in some way that the Rockets are doing. Give them credit, right? During the regular season, Steph Curry was 53% on wide open threes. Klay Thompson was 39. Draymond was 28, so let him shoot it. And Durant just doesn't get wide open looks. Watching the Warriors trying to figure out what is taking place and why they don't look right, I just thought they looked rushed. And maybe I'm putting this on them. It looked to me as though they weren't, and this would be the thing if I was a Warrior fan, it was a little disconcerting. It looked to me as though they weren't clear where and how they were getting their rhythm. It looked rushed. And it didn't look as though they knew how they were getting their rhythm going in that game. I don't know how else to describe it. It's as though, you know, they can't quite figure out why they're not dominating like they thought they were going to. The Rockets are really good, and the Rockets respect them to the end. Now, offensively, the Warriors' offense was a 108, so they're just not comfortable. They're not rolling the way they usually do. The other one, by the way, is if you do not crush the Rockets on the offensive glass, you lose. The Warriors last night had 18% of their possessions as 18% of their offensive rebounding rate. We've talked about this before. We talked about it in our series. If you look at the Rockets' win analysis, they win when they, there's a few things. When their free throw rate is over 27%, they win. Their free throw percentage last night, they took 24 free throws last night in the ball game. They were down at 19, so they didn't do that. But when they get 76% of their defensive rebounds, they're 25-2. And when they get 80% of their defensive rebounds, they're 16-0. And last night, the Rockets got over 80% of their defensive rebounds. They don't lose. The Rockets have not lost a game all year when that's the case. So that's a huge part of that. Okay. I did a huge Twitter thread on this last night, but the Celtics were an abomination last night. And it was incredible to watch the lack of camaraderie, the selfishness, the lack of coaching, the lack of structure on the Celtics in last night's game. Absolutely stunning. To see that take place. They had, and if you want to follow my Twitter and at @LockedOnSports, you'll see it. I broke down literally from the 2 minute mark to the 7 minute mark, 5 minutes of basketball. They threw three passes. They threw three passes in 5 minutes. That series is an ass-kicking. It's actually very similar to last year when we got blown out by the Rockets in a series that wasn't particularly close. And they're not, you know, the Celtics go lose game five. They're not close. They're absolutely not close to the Bucks, and that should be alarming to them. And I don't know what happens next for them. It's pretty interesting, though, right? Because what happens next is that Kyrie goes to the Knicks. All right, let's dig into Donovan next. What does he have to do to become efficient? Let's dig into some of his numbers. How is his shot quality? We talked yesterday in part one on Donovan about how he's got some shots he's got to change in his shot distribution. We'll dig back into that a little bit more. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and Linden. If you're buying a car right now, and you're looking and you've got your, is Hyundai on your list? Maybe not. If you're like me, had I never met the Murdochs and never got associated with Hyundai, it is not a car that would have been on my list. And it's one that once you drive it, you notice it's all over the roads. I just didn't know the brand. Take a minute and get to know the brand, because I think what you'll find out is you can get more for your money. It drives fabulously well. They're one of the leaders in technology in their technological advancements, including the back door will not open on the current cars. If a car's coming, it's a child safety feature that they have. The way these things work is you get it for a certain period of time, then you have to open it up to the marketplace. Hyundai's an innovator in all of these areas. You'll be stunned to see. Plus, you get the Murdoch guarantee of no regrets experience. The Murdoch's making sure that you have the best experience you possibly can. Stop by, say hi to Jason at 4646 South State Street. Visit Blake down in Linden and also up in Logan. It's Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Today's show brought to you in part by Homie, revolutionizing the real estate world as we know it. The real estate world has been the same for an awfully long time. You get a realtor, they get a large percentage, you lose equity, they sell your house. Well, Homie has changed that. What Homie has done is come into this and said, we are going to set a flat fee. That's right, $1,500 flat fee is set for you to sell your house. Always the same, no matter what, no matter what the value of your house. So you keep your equity. Then instead of having a single agent, they have a team of people that work with you from their staff. And what they're showing right now is they're not only saving you a ton of equity with the $1,500 flat fee, but they are also selling houses faster than the market value and at a higher price than the market timing and a higher price than the market value. Text Homie or text LOCK, LOCKE, to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588 to find out more about our friends at Homie and what they're doing to the real estate market. That's LOCK, LOCKE, to 88588. All right, let's take a look at Donovan. Let's just do some fun, basic stuff here for a second. And we're going to see some of his development here. There's so many great things going on with Donovan. We zeroed in yesterday in kind of that one area where there's got to be some improvement in the shot selection if he's going to get efficient, and we'll dig back into that here in a little bit with some comps. But this guy is going to be great. Like, that's the overriding theme here, and he continues to be. So catch and shoot 3-point shooting from Donovan this year, 40%. I mean, that here you got a bona fide scorer. Imagine what could happen to Donovan. Now, luckily, our system creates this for him. But Donovan took the fourth most amount of catch and shoots on the team this year. Overall, Jay Crowder took the most, 442. Joe Ingles, 319. Kyle Korver, 243. And then Donovan Mitchell, 219. So, and catch and shoot threes, Donovan and Kyle were about the same. So here's Donovan, 40% catch and shoot 3-point shooter. Just terrific. And terrific development on his part of what he did a year for him. And this is now a 2-year running trend. This is where things are really exciting about Donovan's development. He has the ability to be a bona fide knockdown shooter. He was 40.6% in 17-18, and he was 40.1%. So he is a 40% knockdown catch-and-shoot guy. Imagine if you have somebody else creating for him a little bit more than we have. Now, the system gives him an awful lot of that. Now, pull-up shooting, which is an area where I think, you know, that's a much more difficult shot. He doesn't get nearly as much space. He's doing it off the bounce. Someone sneaks under on a pick and roll. And this is the play that if he starts to knock down, it really changes everything. He's at 33.2% on his off the bounce three. Now that's, and he took, you know, 289 compared to the next most is Joe Ingles at 153. So if he can improve that, that would be a big major, that would make him, you know, a bona fide, that would really make him unguardable. The two best shooting guards, though, and just let me compare it for you to what it was a year ago, and then we'll look at kind of the two best guards at probably taking those kind of shots that are out there. Donovan's 33.2 this year was a little bit of a step up, if I remember correctly, from what he had a year ago in that regard. So, you know, nice to see. And you know what? This is a guy who, after March 1, shot 45% on above-the-break threes. He just continued and continued to get better as the year went on. Wide-open shooting, he shot 40% and hit 77 of his last 156. 77 of his last 156 wide-open threes he knocked down. That is just big time. He was 29% on his off-the-bounce three as a rookie. He was 33% in his second year. Though that's a big step right there. That 4 percentage points is a big deal. All right, so he's at 33% off the bounce. Let's look at both Dame and Kyrie Irving, probably, and Kemba Walker, probably the three most bona fide big-time scorers that are out there. Sorry, for some reason, NBA Stats, of course, never wants to come up and when I want to confirm the number the way I want it to be. They decide to give me an intermixing of Portland and Houston playoff numbers there for a quick second. So Dame off the bounce this year, three-point shooting, 36%. McCollum's 36% as well. So Donovan goes from 29 to 33, and we probably could go back and try to look. I could certainly go back and see what Dame was in his rookie year. I'd have to, or in his second year, I'll bet you that we would find that that's an area where Dame has certainly developed that shot. That's probably the most difficult shot for a player coming into the league. Let me see how far back I can take it. I had not planned. So 2013-14 is the first year I can get you on this. This was Dame's second year. To Dame's credit, his second year, he's 37% on the off-the-bounce three. He then slips to 33% in his third year and brings it back up to 35% the year after that. So, and has been at 36th. I don't have his rookie year. I apologize for that. The other one to look at is both Kemba and Kyrie. Those are probably the most bona fide scoring point guards in the league in a similar sense. Kyrie, 35.5% on the off-the-bounce three. And Then there's Kemba Walker, who is 35.6%. So Donovan, 29% his first year, 33% his second year. And here you have Kemba, Dame, Kyrie, the three best scoring guards are all at 36% on their off-the-bounce three. That's not, you know, we're not talking about a lot here, right? It's not a mass. This is just a subtle, probably learning when to take your shot, when not to. He was 96 of 289 this year. If he, you know, buries a few more of those, frankly, if he buries nine more, he goes to 36%. It's not a big number change there, but that's what the elite guards in the league are able to do off the bounce. His catch and shoot numbers are great. His wide open numbers are unbelievable. So you just see this is the natural development. And again, that's actually a pretty big step for a guy who, as I've talked about, you don't expect a lot of change from a player year one to year two. All right. Shot quality for Donovan. Donovan's shot quality was effective field goal percentage shot quality was by far the worst on the Jazz team. In other words, he got the least amount of open looks. He probably took shots at 48.8 was his QSQ. His if he had shot average, he'd shoot at 48.8. Now, let's take a look at that for a second. Because I think what's interesting here is where does that compare to other guys in the league? Is this unusual that someone like Donovan, who is taking the fifth most amount of shots in the league, is in that area? So let's go do our regular, take the top 100 shot makers in the league. That's always how I kind of break it down. And let's look at where Donovan's 48.8 ranks. He ranks 80th. Out of the top 100 shot makers in the shot quality he's getting. So being the number one guy on a team without another option and not very good shot distribution is leading him to some of this inefficiency. He shoots -0.2 under what he should for a shot quality. So his shot quality is causing his inefficiency. Of the players who, of the 100 most shots, players who took the 100 most shots, Donovan ranks 88th in effective field goal percentage. Okay, so he's really inefficient. Of the players who took the 100 most shots in the NBA this year, and Donovan took the fifth most, the only players that have a lower effective field goal percentage were DeMar DeRozan, who doesn't shoot threes, Trae Young, rookie, Colin Sexton, rookie, Dwayne Wade, who's retiring, Tim Hardaway Jr., who's notoriously inefficient, Dennis Schroeder, Lou Williams, Russell Westbrook, Ricky Rubio, Andrew Wiggins, Josh Jackson, Kevin Knox. So three rookies, he's a second-year player, and the most notoriously inefficient players in the NBA. Okay, that's the grouping that he's in right now. But a large part of that, if you look at these guys, remember I mentioned that Donovan is a -0.2, okay? 0.2. Trey's a -2. Sexton actually takes inefficient shots. Hardaway takes inefficient shots. Schroeder's a -2. Westbrook's a -4. Rubio's a -6. Wiggins is a -2. Josh Jackson's a -4. Kevin Knox is a -5. So Lou Williams is actually the only guy who can take inefficient shots and be better than his shot quality. In other words, Donovan's primary issue here is the shots he's getting are shots, and the shots he's taking are shots that lead him to be one of the most inefficient players in the game. It's not his ability to make the shots. He's actually pretty right on. His QSQ for the top 100 shooters in the league is at 72nd, tied with a bunch of guys in the league. He's better, or his QSI, which is, you know, what he is compared to his shot quality. But his shot quality is the problem here. The shots he's getting, either because he's the only option, because he's young, whatever it might be, that's predominantly the issue for Donovan. Other players the players who get the worst shot quality of the top 100 guys is DeMar DeRozan, then Lou Williams, then Terrence Ross, then Durant, because he's always guarded, then Rose, then D'Angelo Russell, then Devin Booker, Hardaway, C.J. McCollum, Dwayne Wade, Colin Sexton, Chris Middleton, Rudy Gay, Chris Paul, Andrew Wiggins, Klay Thompson, Kyrie, Kevin Knox, and then Donovan. Okay. Now, it's not an easy thing to do, right? The best shot quality is all big men. Eric Bledsoe is an exception there. Ben Simmons is an exception there. They're not. Joe Ingles gets amazing shot quality. He's got one of the best shot qualities of any forward in the NBA. Eric Gordon gets great shot quality playing off of someone else. Primary high usage guys, it's not easy to get high shot quality. Bojan Bogdanović does in Indiana. Jimmy Butler does in Philadelphia. LeBron's able to. Drew Holiday's able to get pretty good shot quality. But it's hard. So we'll look at Donovan compared to the other guys in the league to understand how hard it is. When we continue, it is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Catch Locked On NBA, Wes Goldberg, David Ramil today. Did a nice job, as they always do. It's your daily podcast on the NBA. Locked On MLB is on fire as well on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, so let's look at Donovan and that shot quality, understanding the burden, understanding the development, compared to other guys. So Donovan took 52% of his shots in as twos and 27% of his shots as threes and 9% of his trips to the free throw line. There are high usage, relatively high usage, guards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 of them that had a positive points gained last year. Of those 20, here who they are: Steph Curry, James Harden, Malcolm Brogdon, playing off people, not a great comp, Kyrie Irving, J.J. Redick, Dame Lillard, so four good comps, Danny Green playing off people, Devin Booker, fifth good comp, D.J. Augustine, Bradley Beal, good comp, six, Buddy Hield, seventh, Malik Beasley, Landry Shamet, Ben Simmons, Spencer Dinwiddie, probably a good comp, Bryn Forbes, Eric Bledsoe, Seth Curry, Thomas Satoransky, and Klay Thompson. So there's some guys in here that are good comps. Of the guys in here, positive points gained, how many of them took more than 52% of their possessions as twos? And the answer is Malcolm Brogdon, Kyrie Irving at 55 and 53%, and Ben Simmons. Okay, well, Ben Simmons doesn't shoot threes. How many of these guys only use 27% of their possessions as threes? So less than 27% of their possessions as three-point shots. Devin Booker, and that's it. Oh, and Malcolm Brogdon, 26.9. Same as Donovan. Satoransky does too, but he turns it over 16% of the possessions when the ball's in his hand, so his numbers are a little skewed. Okay, so of all these 20 players that were above average possession users last year, only Malcolm Brogdon and Devin Booker shot a lower percent, and Ben Simmons, but he's an outlier, lower percentage of their shots as threes. Donovan, the average of these 20 players shot 37% of their possessions as threes. Donovan was at 27%. They shot 44% of their shots, or percent of their possessions, I'm including turnovers here, as twos. Donovan was at 52. Donovan actually goes to the line at a higher rate than most of these guys. A lot of them are just pure shooters. Seth Curry and Klay Thompson and Bryn Forbes and Malik Beasley and Buddy Hield and Danny Green. They don't go to the line much at all, nor do Malcolm Brogdon and Kyrie Irving. The guy Harden goes to the line more, Dame goes to the line more, Devin Booker goes to the line more. And those guys are all able to take 10% or more of their possessions and go to the line. Spencer Dinwiddie is in here because he goes to the line 14% of his possessions. He goes to the free throw line, which is on par with James Harden. That's how he became positive. Donovan's at 9%. It'd be nice if Donovan could get himself up to 10 or 11%. And really what that is taking away some of those floaters where he never gets fouled, driving into the basket and drawing that foul at and getting those trips to the line. Now he's not, he's a 2-foot jumper and he's not particularly big. And so he's got to learn that, right? But Dame's figured that out. Dame's going to line 11.5% of his possessions. Devin Booker, 11.6. DJ Augustine, who's smaller than him, at 10.3. Spencer Dinwiddie at 13.8, who's had all sorts of knee problems. And then there's James Harden. So that would be ideal. The first adjustment would be as if there's a way Donovan could get himself into that 10 or 11% of his at free throws. And then that would actually fix a little bit of this other part, which is the fact that if you're not taking some of those twos and you're going to the free throw line with them instead, it flips your 2-3 percentage. But Donovan takes an inordinate amount of twos for a and it is there is it's a very difficult script. Donovan's at 53-27. 53% of his shots are twos, 27% possessions are twos, and 27% are threes. Malcolm Brogdon is at 55-27 and is able to do it because Malcolm Brogdon shot 50% from the field, 43% from three, and 93% from the free throw line. Now, Malcolm Brogdon is a free agent. A lot of people love him. It worries me a great deal of whether that is a sustainable answer for him. That would make me nervous. I get a little nervous. Kyrie Irving is probably the best shooter in the game. And so he was at 49% from the field, 40% from three. Donovan's at 43-36. Pretty hard for Donovan to on the shot distribution between Donovan and Kyrie is similar. Pretty hard for Donovan to become that shooter. He's the best shooter in the game. Dame Lillard, whose field goal percentage is 44.4, and Donovan's is 43, right? Almost the exact same. Donovan's three-point is 36. Dame's is 37. The difference between the two of them is, one, Dame's going to the free throw line two percentage more times. But that's out of 100 possessions. He's going to the line two more times, not a lot. But the other change is that out of 100 possessions, Donovan's taking 52 twos and Dame's taking 45. So seven difference there. And so of those seven possessions where Dame's not taking a two, twice he's going to the free throw line and five times he's shooting a three. Over 100 possessions, that's really the change that Donovan has to make. Donovan can do virtually all of what he did this last year with shooting percentages, and he's getting better, as we just talked about. And if he can get that 36% off the bounce, then he really becomes unbelievable because he's actually on open shooting. And if he gets a little help, he'd be unbelievable. This is his second year compared to Dame, who's an all first. We're comparing him to Dame Lillard, first team all NBA right here. Make sure we understand that. But here it is, just broken down. Seven possessions out of 100. Instead of taking twos, he takes five more threes and he gets fouled two more times. Instead of seven of those inefficient floaters, can Donovan figure out how to get fouled on two of them, circle out, work the ball around, get a little help, and get a three on him on another possession? His turnover rate's the same as Dame's. His free throw rate is behind. That's the only thing. The other, it's hard to find another player of comp. Spencer Dinwiddie is kind of close. So Dinwiddie is 44% from the field. Donovan's 43. Spencer Dinwiddie's not as good a three-point shooter. He's 33 to Donovan's 36. He's just going, he takes 40 out of 100 shots as twos. Donovan takes 52. So of those 12 possession differences, the difference between the two of them is in those 12 extra possessions, six of them are threes, four of them are going to the free throw line, and Dinwiddie turns it over two more times. He's not as secure with the ball as Donovan is. So that one's really a bigger jump because that's if he shoot if he does if Donovan goes and takes Spencer Dinwiddie's possession distribution with Donovan shooting, then Donovan becomes one of the four or five best guards in the league offensively. These are all just parts of the natural progression. All right, hope that was interesting. Two-part deep dive on Donovan. If you have any questions, feel free to give me a buzz. That is Locked On Jazz today. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Remember to subscribe to or follow Locked On NBA Net on Twitter. It's all of our hosts on the Locked On NBA channel on one Twitter feed. It's also available on Instagram at Locked On NBA Net. Have a great day.